here. Present is Alan, Richard, Ron, Bill, and our new member, Stephen Willis. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
We always like experience, let me tell you. Would you like to share some of your history briefly? We'll tell you ours when we'll go around and introduce ourselves.
Sure.
To you.
I've spent most of my career in one form of public service or another. Probably started out running residence halls, which I did at San Jose State for 8 years. And along the way, got a couple of master's degrees, including an MBA in finance. I worked for Ford Aerospace for about 3 years as a financial analyst.
Hold up for one second. The last member who just walked by. Let's hand her in here. Hey, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's
the right place.
So 3 years at Ford Aerospace as a financial analyst, and then I got a job at the City of San Jose as a senior budget analyst, and worked for the city for about 16 years in a variety of capacities, from budget to the city manager's budget office for a year, and then I ran the real estate division for the Department of Public Works for about 7 years. I was the administrative officer for the Department of Environmental Services for a year, and somebody, the solid waste manager, left, and I was the acting deputy director for the City of San Jose's solid waste program for about 4 years. And I left there and went to the town of Portola Valley, where I was the assistant town administrator for a year, about a year and a half. And I turned 55, and I said, let me tell you where to send the checks. And since then, I've been working part-time and moved up here to be put family closer together and get more property for less dollars and no state income tax. And we like it cool and wet. You okay with that?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So I don't have any complaints about the weather. We like it. So that's kind of the nutshell. I can tell you more if you want more. I'm not a practitioner in the industry, but as I like to say, I know just enough to be dangerous.
That works for the
Yeah.
Thank you. And
introductions?
Yes, mm-hmm. We're doing introductions. As new members, you get to give your speech.
Sure. My name is Simone Ogier, and I am pretty much a lifelong resident of Clark County and the Vinland Center on Acreage, family land. Right now, I work with the Energy Trust in the lighting program, commercial buildings. So we're all about efficiency and trying to help folks repair PG&E's with power with energy efficiency. And I'm just really happy to be here. I'm looking forward to working with you today. Doing good things.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We'll do our introductions. You want to start, Bill?
Okay, Bill Shirley. I'm an appointee from the City of Vancouver. I'm the Vancouver City Council. I've been there for 3 years. Before that, I was in the private sector. Before that, I was a Navy carrier pilot for 20 years. And before that, I worked in a sawmill down in Oregon City, and I figured out that was not a place I wanted to stay the rest of my life. So, married and 5 kids and 16 grandkids, so I'm interested in what's happened to our environment, and as well as trying to keep them out of drugs. So, that's where I was this afternoon. I had a prior meeting this afternoon on that problem. So, community involvement is where I am.
Rem Wilson. I've been a resident of Vancouver 28 years now. I'm a partner in a consulting firm in Portland, Glumac. We specialize in sustainable buildings. And been there the whole entire time, and about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I decided to get more involved in the community over here, and I'm a fairly recent member of SPAC, just coming up on a year, I think, actually.
A little over a year now,
so welcome aboard.
Thank you.
What is REM short for?
Remley.
Remley.
R-E-M-L-Y.
I didn't know that. I'm Don Evison. I'm co-chair of the committee and run it in the absence of a committee chairman. I've spent the last 30 years in solid waste industry selling the trucks and the bodies to the solid waste companies in Oregon and in Washington. I'm involved with the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, past president of that, past president of the Washington Refuse and Recycling Association. My way of giving back to the community for everything the community has given me.
I'm Dick Baker. I spent my entire career with the Corps of Engineers. I retired as chief of their construction division out of Seattle. We did all the military construction and cleanup in the Northwest. We also did a lot of work for other federal agencies, especially EPA. We did most of the big Superfund cleanups. They would contract us and we would do it. And that's about it.
A long time, the longest time member now.
Yes.
Alan?
Okay, I'm Alan Jessica. And I haven't been here too long myself, still learning the ropes, and been a retired school teacher from the Vancouver School District. I also took the, as soon as they opened the door, I zipped out. So I've been retired for about 25 years already. I stayed with the Army for Army Reserve and put 37 years in the service with the Army, so I've got that under my belt too. I've always thought a dumpster was like a free garage sale, and I always take a peek every time I go by one and make sure there's things going on. I'm also on the green team for Legacy Hospital and on their board of philanthropy there. And when the opening became apparent here, then I applied here and have enjoyed a year of being around most of these folks, and would like to welcome you aboard.
Thank you.
A quick summary.
Well, I'm humbled to be in the presence of such esteemed folks. So thank you for joining, all of you, and volunteering your time and service and all the years of experience around this table. So we have had quite a bit of transition, and we do have some good longevity, Richard and Don, and some new blood and some very recent blood. And I have lived here since I came to the Northwest in 89 from New York, and have been a battleground on acreage, and now I'm living in Harding Heights, and have three kids. I play guitar.
Well.
Good.
No, actually, does a pretty good job.
Why did you come out to the Northwest from the...
I came out with a rock and roll band.
Ah.
The lead guitarist was, his folks moved out of their house that summer, so to float the Grand Canyon. So we all moved in, became the band house.
Whoa.
Then they quickly kicked us out.
And Cynthia?
I'm Cynthia Keelan. I'm an office assistant for environmental services, so I'm here to take minutes and help with anything you need.
Two beautiful young kids.
And I have two children who are going to bed soon.
Actually, truth be known, we can't find anything else to do on Thursday night.
That's right.
So we come down here.
I appreciate your honesty.
Get them in the back.
Yes, I agree.
Rich, I'm sorry.
I'm Rich McConaughey. I work with the City of Vancouver. I'm the Environmental Resources Manager. So I've been with Vancouver for about 17 years. I am garbage much longer than that. So I have two kids.
And of course, I'm late for sure.
Of course.
I only guess.
Lisa was the past chair of this committee and served for many years. It's a new role. Great to have you.
Welcome. Somebody shows up.
Thank you. Thanks for speaking.
Next thing we've got is approval of minutes from our last meeting.
I move that the minutes be approved as printed.
Second.
And they're well done.
Thank you.
That's interesting. How do we handle that? We've only got three people present that were at the meeting.
It's half.
It's half? Yeah.
Round up.
I think so. Moved and seconded to accept the minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 Abstain.
Abstain. Abstain. Abstain. We have two positions open, chair and vice chair. Right now I'm acting, or I am vice chair. Would anybody like to volunteer to be the chair?
Looking for nominations?
Go ahead.
Nominate you. Logical succession of command here, I think, isn't it? You go from vice chair to chair. I nominate Tom.
Okay, I've been nominated.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Lisa's not good enough. I can oppose that one.
And we need a vice chair. Vice chair is an exciting job. You get to chair the meetings once or twice a year. Actually, our big job in this committee is a solid waste management plan. Every 5 years, we rewrite that, review it, plan for the future, try to account for everything. And it takes us a good year to get through that. And that's one of our biggest things that we do. We're at the conclusion of that this time, so volunteers for vice chair.
I'll help you out, Don.
Okay.
Okay, I nominate you.
Second that.
Question?
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ellen, you're elected.
Thank you.
You realize I'm a snowbird, though. So you can only escape during the summer.
Well, that's right. Unless I go visit you.
Yeah, that's right. We could hold a meeting there.
Oh, that's a better idea.
Where are we snowboarding? It's
Mesa, Arizona.
Oh, that's a good place.
All right, I think that's February.
Well, March is baseball season.
Let's make it March.
Works for me. Public health is not here, unfortunately.
It did present an email that was in the packet. Updates. I was so sick.
That's not good.
Sick kid.
Oh, sick kid. You can't have public health be sick. Any chance that Melissa's going to move up?
Not sure. That position's still posted.
She sure does a good job.
Yeah. You have to agree with that.
Did Gary already retire?
No. It's close. But not yet.
For those of us who aren't really up on WECs, what's 173.350?
Those are the minimum function standards. Is that how they refer to that, Rich?
Right, yeah.
And that discusses how garbage is handled. Landfills, piles, organics, it's kind of the regulation for solid waste and garbage in the state.
Okay. And do you happen to know why it's moving very slowly?
I don't.
Have you heard any feedback? Well, the sense here says there's a work group working through this revision very slowly. And I'm just kind of curious as to why it's moving slowly. Is it because of lack of funding, personnel, waiting for additional information?
So it sounds like that's probably at a college where that's happening.
Yes. This is Department of College I'm talking about.
I said it on their waste resources group and kind of hear some of the updates on it.
Yeah.
I think some of it is the program has undergone some changes in the last few years with some legislation and some funding.
Yeah.
So I know that's part of it. And there was some discussion about really how much of a priority are some of those revisions. So I think that's kind of where it is. It maybe hasn't been the top priority.
Okay.
For the last few years, so they're probably getting reintegrated to that and probably have lots else on their plate.
Okay.
I expect that's probably the reason.
Okay.
We can follow up with you.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's good. That's
I don't. You're just a curious. I'm just curious as
well. It's also a group that's got a report too and has a lot of input from all the haulers, all the recyclers, all the municipalities.
Okay, so they make a proposed
change,
and then they have to wait for feedback
to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing we're doing with the book.
So
it's a pretty cumbersome process.
I can imagine it would be.
Well, that's kind of the pits Joe is living, but.
Does ECY mean ecology?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that's
acronym. Yeah. Yeah. Acronyms become a new language that you have to learn. Yeah.
You know, military guidance.
Yeah, right. Who's St. Pack?
Anyway? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, just as a quick overview, in Washington, garbage is regulated on the state level. It goes back to the 60s. Haulers went to Olympia and said, it's so corrupt and so crooked on a local level, let's put it in utilities and transportation. So to this day, rates are determined on the state level. Everything is franchised.
When you say rates, you're talking about for residential haulers or for...
Residential haulers.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, so the rates are set for waste connections in Clark County. And generally, rates, doesn't the city pretty much mirror that?
The city sets its own rates through contracts. and we have formulas that base rates on CPI and hauler rate returns and that sort of thing. City of Camas has their own collection, and then I believe Ridgefield and Washougal have their own contracts as well, and then Battleground and Yakult and LaCenter, I believe, are into this UTC regulation for garbage, but under contracts with Clark County for recycling and yard debris. It's a little complicated.
It's kind of a mixed bag all the way around.
We've got some good tables in the solid waste plant that keep everyone straight.
Okay, you're up.
Okay. For county updates. Or are we into the presentation for paid?
Pardon?
Do we go right to pain, or are we just doing updates? Let's see. Well, the biggest update is we have our two new SWAC members, which is very exciting. And I, again, appreciate volunteerism, participation. This is a great group. We have a lot going on in the solid waste division. You'll be hearing more about this. Last time we talked about the Green Neighbors Recycling Day events. I'm sorry, some of you didn't hear that because you weren't here, but we put on 9 events with all the local cities and then a couple other remote areas of the county. We're planning those for 2015, and we also are going to be inspecting. The county has about 110,000 blue carts that folks put their single-family recycling into, and over a 5-year period of time, we're going to inspect all of those carts to find out what kind of contamination issues and get feedback back to folks so they're putting the right things in the bin. The biggest issue is folks are putting glass in the blue cart when it should be on the side in its own special bin, and then plastic bags and wrap and film are also going in those blue carts. Those can be taken to grocery stores, but when they get the cart, unfortunately, they go through our process, which entails a sort line, and get stuck in the gears. It impacts the slots that are needed to actually separate the materials, and they have to shut down, according to Chris Thomas, Waste Connections, sort line 4 to 6 times a day, and send people in there with box cutters to cut out all those plastic bags and film and wrap. So we're going to try to do a large-scale campaign. We're going to pick 20% of those households, so we'll do about 25,000 homes over a 5-year period of time. And we will, once we've had those routes selected, we're going to bring all that material into the transfer station and do a sort for contamination, so we have a pre and a post, so we can find out how effective the campaign has been. And it's all grant funded, so we will keep you posted on the progress. It's currently called the Clean Cart Campaign. We're doing that as well at the multifamily level with a different approach. We've got about 30,000 multifamily units. Is that about right, Rich?
New City County, come on.
So there's some issues there. They've got roll carts as well. A lot of garbage and other things get in there. So part of what we do is make sure people recycle right.
Yep.
And we've got those signs, Recycling Done Right. It's the name of our newsletter. I'm trying to brand that.
Pete, I'd like to say something. I don't know if you've ever been through a recycle terminal or not, but...
I have.
Oh, okay. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to suggest going through the one here. They have a program for that. Okay. I went through that last year. It was very interesting
it
to
is.
See this. So. Okay, since you've already been there.
Yes.
Experienced people, maybe you could tell me a little bit.
This week's warning that told me that Friday was my collection day also warned me not to use plastic bags.
Yes.
So I thought that was a good idea for them to do too.
Maybe Rich can include that in his update. We'll be talking about paint and hazardous waste a little bit later. That's also a big piece that we do as a program. And we're getting ready to apply for our Department of Ecology Coordinated Prevention Grant, which is the CPG grant. That'll be due in March. That brings us in about $1.2 million over a 2-year period. And we'll want your recommendation on how we proceed with that submittal. It is pass-through money that's allocated to counties based on population, so it's not a competitive grant. It's dollars that we will get from the toxics model. It's from a toxic control account. It's a tax on petroleum.
How much was the grant?
$1.2 million. And that represents about 40% of our budget. It's actually because it'd be annual. But our budget's about $3 million a year. We bring in about $600,000 in that grant. And our budget went through, the county's budget went through, so our solid waste budget has also been approved. And I've got that information. We presented that a couple SWAC meetings back, but if anyone's interested.
You have $3 million annually, and in general, what scope does that fund of that activities?
The scope of that would be in terms of programs or in terms of, we've got 7 sustainability specialists currently, 2 OAs, 1 Cynthia at part-time, and then program manager and myself. Yeah. And again, from a budgeting standpoint, the 100s and 200s, the salary, costs, and benefits is
the
larger.
That's usually the case.
Yep. And then I have it all broken down so from a budget standpoint. So
yep.
Lots more going on, but you know, I'll leave it at that, and we'll keep you updated on the big ones.
Okay. Rich?
I'll tag on to what Alan was talking about there. So we've had the recollect widget on websites. I thought I talked about that a couple months ago. The city, the county, Waste Connections partnered with that. I think it's about $13,000 a year. You can go to the website, type in your address, and we'll send you a reminder or an email or give you a phone call every week before your garbage is picked up, telling you what's garbage and recycling this week, and then next week it's garbage and yard debris. We have the capability of putting special campaigns in there, like about the reminders about plastic bags or what to do with your sharps or different things like that. So we've just introduced that now as an app. So you can get an app. It's called Recycle Right. So it's in the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. But what's it called?
Yeah, that iStore.
Close enough.
iTunes.
So whatever your phone is, I think most of them would have the app. So the app would give you the same thing. You'll get a reminder kind of telling you what to set out. And there's also an application which is just kind of being added, which is the Recycling A to Z, which you're probably all familiar with. You can go to the county's website, has a link by alphabetical. You type in trombones, if you've got a trombone to get rid of, it's all alphabetical, or American flag, or cardboard. And it will tell you places to take that, give you details about that. So this app does the same thing. You just start to type in the mystery word, the boombox that you want to get rid of, and it will kind of return kind of where places will take that, give you the phone number. I think also a map that will kind of tell you how to get there. But you should always call before you get there. So that's just a new piece that was added as part of the feature. And we've done an RFP, so we'll have the same program provider for the next 5 years. So, questions on that?
What do you do with American flags?
I think there's places you can take them. The one I'm remembering from, this is a couple years back, was like Veterans of Foreign Wars, I think. Or is it like the bingo hall?
That's right. At Sabin Creek, the bingo hall, just go in there and
I think they will take them and do proper disposal.
They do it several times a year, Veterans Day or whatever.
And there's actually around the country, there's a number of haulers that kind of took on to kind of establish special flag recycling things, because they were picking up the garbage and they saw somebody's flag in the thing in the garbage can and said, that's not right, we need to get something better. So once we learned that kind of those programs were going on, we did some research and put that up on the A to Z.
Just to tag on to that, we get reports because it's all digital now or online, and it shows you what folks have searched in our county and America. And I noticed when I skimmed the last report, American flags was one of the number one things people were actually looking at.
Yeah. Another item of interest that we kind of had a reminder for, we already actually had some places listed, but we added a couple new ones. So Christmas lights. So if you're pulling the Christmas lights out of the little box or whatever, and you're getting ready to put those up and they don't work, surprise, surprise, go buy you some new LED ones and then go to the Recycling A to Z, and you'll see some places where they'll take and recycle the old string of Christmas lights. And actually, they send most of those to China, and they recover the copper out of them because they're considered a very valuable commodity over there. They're building their whole new infrastructure based on scrap materials coming from the United States. Recycle those lights. And have Merry Christmas.
Thank you. When are we going to get another update on landfill repurposing?
We are, and I can give a brief update on that.
I thought of it the other day when I was driving by it. And we haven't heard from Mike for a while.
Yes, there are a couple things going on. The county recently was able to acquire the old Leichner landfill, which is in Orchards, and there is a separate budget attached to that landfill called the Financial Assurance Reserve Fund, or we call it FARF, and that has been used to fund some of Mike's time and post-closure work. We are looking at master planning that. He wants to have that master plan wrapped up by the end of June 2015. And there's a couple questions. One is, there's a 20-acre, approximately 20-acre clean industrial site that's referred to as the Koski property that, from a master planning standpoint, could be spun off and sold or somehow put back into use. And then there's a site that's more like 7 acres, I think, called the Fleischer, which had PCB contamination on it. And we've got a study back on what is going to be needed to remediate that, and basically it's going to need to be paved over at some level, which brings that value down for the owner. Just to be able to utilize that land, it would cost the liability to bring it back into use defers any of the actual value of the land. So we're negotiating with that owner, who may have thought they could get something out of it if they're willing to basically give it away, since it's now a liability. And once that question's answered, before that question's answered, we're going to still master plan 3 options with Fleischer included in that property. So you've got the landfill, and he can bring the maps, but you've got the big landfill, you've got Fleischer over here, and Koski. Those are basically the 3 components. And then we'll master plan 3 options without that Fleischer, in case they don't want to sell to us. And then we'll bring SWAC involved. You guys can recommend on those options. And then we push it up ranks from there. So you will be certainly involved. He is still working. We have a grant for $200,000 to do the study on basically bringing this brownfield back into circulation as a brownfield grant. And then we're also using $200,000 from that financial reserve fund, landfill fund, to do run the master planning. So
the Fleischer property is just going to be declared a brownfield?
The study has basically declared it a brownfield.
Okay, so then really the only thing that can be done is either very expensive remediation or just level it and pave it.
That is a remediation, basically just a
that pave. Is?
Yeah. By paving it, you lock all that stuff in the soil.
Yeah, they've got detectors all around there.
And there's quite a bit of other work being done at the landfill right now. We've got our methane collection is on top. We want to put all those pipes underneath and then figure out if it's going to be a dog park, frisbee park. That's kind of the fun aspect of the master plan. Solar panel arrays. There's a lot of options.
Thank you. Department of Ecology is, are we going to have a rep from there, or have you heard?
I have not heard. I speak with them quite a bit on the solid waste plan piece. And
could we ask if somebody could come maybe just once a quarter? I don't see a need to have her every month.
But sure. Well, I think because we'll be submitting this soon, our plan for their 120-day review, it would be good to have them come back during that time.
Okay. Any other questions for Pete?
There was under this health thing, the F says, does SWAC want an opportunity to provide input during public comment phase? I think we should answer that so that Pete has something to take back to Melissa and company.
Okay. I'd say yes.
Will we get a printout of what they're considering?
We can add when the timing is right. I'm not sure how very slowly they're working, but when it's appropriate, we'll have Joe give us an update.
Okay.
Put them on the agenda.
It looks like there's a link on their website, which may have a document review. If I'm reading this correctly. 3D rural development.
Could be.
Would you like to tell us about your paint?
Yes. Okay. Well, this is the moment you've been waiting for. Paint presentation. This really came up in a little bit. It's a little bit of a shame because I just got some background Jack McClary, who was a long-serving commission member, was involved back in the late 80s through his company that was then bought by Burlington, which was subsequently bought by Philip Environmental Services, which has now been bought by Stericycle. But he ran some of the initial paint disposal and hazardous waste disposal for our programs through his work here for that company. And we were talking about these 9 collection events that we do around the county to collect hazardous waste is how we normally have done that. And our hazardous waste cost from those 9 events is approximately $100,000 a year, which is significant. It's grant funded and very grant eligible. It's material we want to make sure is managed properly. So I think there are arguments to continuing that. It's also a good service to provide to cities that are more remote, possibly. But there was a transition in our contract with the transfer stations in about 2007, and we have hazardous waste collection facilities at all 3 of our transfer stations, and they are open year-round. West Van, which is in Low River Road, is open on Friday, Saturday. There are central transfers on Saturday, Sunday. The Washougal transfer is the third Saturday of the month. And they will collect household hazardous waste for free, no cost to the homeowner. And then Waste Connections bears that cost. So some of the discussion that we had with the commission at our last WAC meeting was, is there a way to better manage our hazardous waste? Because if we do our collection events, the county pays. If we could somehow steer people to these fixed facilities that are open and available and a great service, and Waste Connections picks up the cost. And about 50% of what we collect at these events is latex paint. Latex paint, and it's been some time, for 20 years, it has not been a hazardous waste because at one point it had mercury in it for a fungicide. And then I guess there was antifreeze in there that they kept to keep it from freezing, but they were able to engineer all those bad things out. Now it's just a water-based paint. And we're the only county that still collects it for recycling. And I'll go through a presentation that our hazardous waste specialist put together. So I'm not completely up to speed on everything in here. There's a lot of information, so this is a quick preface. But most counties are solidifying, they're not accepting it. So he's going to check on this, but I think we're the only county that accepts latex paint. And the other counties will send people away if they come with it, but mostly they'll educate folks to solidify it, which would either be add kitty litter to it and then put it in the trash, put out in the sun, let it dry out, put it in the trash. Some people, I guess, even just will throw it onto a wall and let it dry and then dispose of the can. So these are some of the things that we're dealing with. Hazardous waste is a large ticket item. But let's kind of dive into it. And if you've got questions along the way, just feel free. If I can't answer them, we'll get you the answers. Okay, so this goes, this is how we've managed it for a number of years, 1986 to 2013. 50% of what comes in on paint is latex, which again is not a hazardous material. The other 50% is called paint-related materials, and that's your varnishes, your lacquers, your oil-based, your thinners. And as I said, we have options to bring these into our fixed facilities, which are our transfer stations. We do these 9 events, which are now called Recycle Day events, at all the cities and other points of the county. We now have 7 paint stores that will take the material at no cost to homeowners. The RADA, several millers, the North County out in Amboy. And then we even have a program if someone is unable to either drive that material or move that material, that we have a home collection program where we'll actually go pick it up. The fixed facilities are our three transfer stations, and some of this may be new information to you. We have one out on Highway 503 heading out to Battleground. That's called our central transfer and recycling station. There's one in Washougal, which is open the third Saturday of the month, and then our one over on Lower River Road called West Van, which has hours for accepting this material from the public Friday and Saturday. And again, this is paint, but it's also all hazardous waste. But paint is a large component of our hazardous waste. This is a large figure over this 10-year period of time. We've had 50,000 participants. It costs $6 million, and that's for all hazardous waste. Of that, over 10 million pounds was paint. At a cost of $3 million, so about $300,000 a year to manage all that material. And again, we're only paying the cost now from the mobile collection events. The contractor pays the rest. We have 9 of these events. They're held in the spring and the fall. They are very popular. We roll out the blue tarp for folks. And Philip Environmental Services comes, they collect the material, they pack it up, and away it goes. Our paint is recycled, and our latex paint from our collection events goes to Amazon Environmental Inc. in California, where it's recycled into paint. And the non-usable is sent to Oklahoma and manufactured into material used in the making of their cement. And we're charged by the 1 cubic yard box, loose pack. So they actually will put the gallon paints in these boxes. And again, if you could take the time to bulk some of that, you can save expenses there as well.
In other words, you don't want to send half cans.
And we do. Yeah, if it comes into the can, it just goes in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The material from our fixed facilities, some of it goes to Missouri, so it's kind of going all around. These are where our recycling day events are held. And we have met recently with all the cities. They, of course, like this service. Washougal, we were interested because their event, we scheduled it on the third Saturday when the transfer station is open. We are collecting, in addition to hazardous waste, we started adding all of these new items, tires, scrap metal, yard debris, appliances, harder to recycle items, and we are going to try to do a slow wean process, but possibly on this one we might just send them to the transfer station. We'll try to hold the event at the transfer station, and then we don't have to incur any cost. So we're doing what we can. And we've collected a lot of material at a lot of cost. So what's going on here? As I mentioned, there's 7 paint stores here in the county that will take that paint at no cost to the citizens. We've got the Habitat for Humanity store over in Mill Plain, their new location. Park Rose Hardware, the Miller Paint on 117th Ave. The one on Andreessen, the RADA on 4th Plain, Miller Paint, 20th Ave, and then North County Hardware and Supply out in Amboy. We pay for the collection of that material. It's $100 a pickup, and that will be taken to the fixed facility and then recycled by their hazardous waste supplier. And between 2005 and 2013, over 580,000 pounds of paint were collected at these drop-off sites at a cost of $52,000. And the paint's taken to a fixed facility, which are transfer stations, and then there they're separated and processed. As I mentioned, we will collect at a home, and we really only collect from about 10 households a year, so very small, and they have to call up and be pre-approved. So that is what's going on with paint, and a very quick, and I have quite a bit of detail here on how that is moved around and what those costs are. But the big question, and something for SWAC and the experience you have, is one, how strongly do we feel that paint should be recycled? Because if we don't want to recycle it, then we can just start educating the public to solidify it and discard it, or take it to the paint stores or the transfer stations where they will incur the cost. But if they bring it to us at these mobile events, we pay a lot of money.
Is there a graffiti program that can use the paint?
It's a lot of paint that we're collecting. So
there's not a lot of graffiti.
I don't think
there is in Vancouver. Yes, there is. Yeah.
There is graffiti for sure.
It's a homeowner's responsibility to get it cleaned up.
Could we get it into the metro system?
And that is something that we would be an excellent recommendation. Metro Oregon, and again, I'm learning a lot of this, so I am by no means an expert, as you said, enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
They just recently, Oregon State, just passed the paint care, the consortium of the sealants, which are the paint companies, was looking for a state. I think did they go to Wisconsin first or Minnesota? Somehow that didn't work out, so they ended up in Oregon. About 4 years ago, they passed legislation. They finally, it was going to sunset end of this year. They've extended it into perpetuity. That sets up a producer responsible take back program so that the industry pays the state take back folks, which is Metro, to collect and process that. So they now have a steady supply. They've got the economics to run a good program. And we used to take stuff to them back in 2007. They cut us off just because they had quality issues.
I'm so sorry, but could I speak?
Yes.
Could I speak?
Mr. Chair.
You know, you have a wonderful economic development chapter. And for the figures that I heard you citing for the latex paint, of which is really not hazardous, it hasn't been considered hazardous by the Solid Waste Association of North America for a long time. Appropriate disposal has been to put cat kitty litter or let it dry out, or, you know, in cases where there's too large of a quantity. Yes, I absolutely applaud the county for collecting it. But for collecting it for the sake of collecting it, I can't see the sense in it, and I would very much put this forward for your new chapter to pull together a group, because quite honestly, I'm sitting here doing the math in my head and I'm thinking, did I hear you say somewhere around $100 for how much to get rid of?
Or pick up load, right?
The cost is about $400 for one cubic yard box. So we'll just pack those paint cans.
So, you know, and I can just anticipate the amount of paint, and people do want to repurpose, but wouldn't it be fabulous to go to a Habitat for Humanity and propose this as a project in conjunction with the leadership, in conjunction with maybe the CRADC, and say, could you propose something? It would be a phenomenal tax savings, because this is, how much did you say we're spending? What's the grand total for a year? Did you have that, Andy?
100,000, I thought.
Well, yeah, it's. But if we take the fixed facilities as well and what they're paying, it's a significant amount of money. We were approached just 2 weeks ago by someone wanting to work with our county to take our pain and turn it into a product.
Yeah.
That's the economic development that we've talked about.
And that's what we've talked about in that chapter, Pete. And I would suggest, if there's any, not that I'm a part of this group, guys, but as a taxpaying citizen, I truly would like to see that money going into something else. And I believe it's a viable business opportunity for someone.
Well, one of the interesting things about this person's business proposal was most of these folks, when they send it to Oklahoma or wherever it's going to be recycled, their recycling rate of that material that comes in is about 60%, because if it's a solid paint can, they toss it. This guy can recycle at a rate of 90%, because the solid paint that comes in is the most valuable, because it doesn't have the water in it. And they will take that in a centrifuge and actually spin it around and add just the right amounts of water and other pieces, and they get the paint that they need. So they are looking for a site to get this going. They just need the seed startup money. And it's not a huge amount. I think he was talking about $200,000. And again, there could be other partners involved in that. We certainly could invite him to give the pitch here, but...
But he approached the county.
He approached the county.
For seed money or just for materials?
He's looking for someone to invest, and then he would set up shop and handle their local paint supply.
Has he got experience doing this?
He has worked with the city of Austin, Texas, has a paint kind of like Metro, but less scientific, where they just mix the stuff up and it comes out brown and they give it away. But he has worked with them to improve their processes. And he started out as a college pro painter. I don't know if anyone had that group about 20 years ago, and he's been painting ever since. So he lives and breathes paint. Smart guy. We could certainly put some resources towards studying that if this group thought that was a viable.
I think that that's what we've tried to do with the sustainability. So let's see what else we can do with this material. I'd be interested in talking to the person.
We could have a subgroup of this group and have him come present, which would be great to get your buy-in or support if it was worthwhile. Paint subcommittee.
I'd do that.
What is great about latex is that it's not hazardous, so it can be transported, it can be moved, it can be stockpiled.
What would the manufacturers think of that if you were to be setting up shop?
The paint manufacturers or the hazardous waste?
The ones making product from new resources.
Well, once they sell it, it's not theirs anymore. So
right, I know, but then he would be a competitive. If he's selling a product,
it'd be one more competitor to them just for the used paint.
Mm-hmm. Well, they might like it though, because if Oregon's having the paint manufacturers pay for their collecting it,
yeah,
a lot of states now are charging manufacturers to collect it. They wouldn't have to pay that collection cost in the future. So they might like the idea of somebody coming in. Saving them money.
The end of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Solution.
It's probably a pretty small fraction of their business too.
Yeah.
You think about what's left over paint.
Well, they might not even want to mess with it. They might work with him.
That's what I would think.
You know, who wants to mess with that? I got new stuff to put out here. I don't want to play with that. You know, and it costs me a lot of money to get rid of it too. You know, they're going to be thinking. So maybe the guy's an answer to everybody's problems.
That's
Well, I took like 30 gallons of it one time for a warehouse. The millers had collected, and it was kind of an ugly brown, but it worked for coating an interior wall.
Yeah. And if you want free, base coat, and if you need free paint for any big project, I've been to here. I went out and checked out that Habitat for Humanity, and they have a lot of paint out there, and they have pallets of. You can just pick it up and take it if you want it. You know, you don't have to pay for it. They've got some stuff in the back, yes, so you pay for that. But out front, they've got, you know, big 5 gallon cans of this, that, and everything. I didn't check colors or anything, but, you know, easy way, and it was absolutely free.
I'd like to pursue that. I'd be on a committee to talk with somebody.
Why can't we just have 15 minutes at one of these meetings?
Yeah, let me in if because we run into this January 1st issue with our next WAC meeting, maybe we could meet sometime between, because our next meeting won't be until February. And this could be a grant. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we'll be talking about a grant application, but this is something we could write up and get grant funded, which would also make it more palatable that we're not using.
Soon as available.
Okay, I'll follow up.
We've got an email list.
It sounds like Rem, Don, we'll keep everyone posted on what we're going to need, but at least we've got a core. Okay, great. Thank you for that.
That was pretty exciting, Pete.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. We'll see.
I just don't want it to be like the tire recycle guys.
No.
Tire recycle guys come to town, get a collection, start it on fire, and then go someplace else.
Yeah. If you've shopped for paint recently, it's $30. Wow, it's unbelievable.
Let's go on to the drop plan and public comments.
Okay. I am going to... Everything now is on our phones. So the Reflector had a very good... Oh. There it is.
There it is.
Let's take the public comment.
I told you it's making my job easy.
Yeah. So our plan, which has been posted on the web, we sent out notification and press releases, and we've delivered these to all the cities. Brought them to some of the main libraries. We've shared them with SWAC members. We are doing our 30-day public comment, which would conclude December 8th, which I think is Monday. And at that point, we would take those public comments, which at this point we haven't received any, but I know the City of Vancouver is working on some, and I've talked... some with the smaller cities that don't have mandatory garbage, like Battleground and the Center, that may be interested in having that discussion as part of the plan update for their councils. Again, it's not a high-profile plan, I guess, to bring up the crowds to get us the comments. But the city's been commenting all along. I know Rich and the city gave quite a bit of feedback on the recommendations, which is Chapter 18, which outlines how we're going to work and move over the next 5 years from a work plan standpoint. So we've incorporated all of that. Once we officially stop the public comment, incorporate those, it goes up to the Department of Ecology, and they have 120 days to review. And they have been part of this process, so it will be faster than that, most likely 45 days.
So when will you submit it to Ecology?
As soon as I get the City of Vancouver's comments, Rich. And
when
then,
Rich? Due Monday, right?
I know. And with the city...
You probably won't get it tomorrow.
Climb on Monday.
Whenever we get it from the city, but it'll be fairly soon, then we'll incorporate those and make sure that SWAC is familiar with all those comments that come in. And we'll probably do that via email. If those comments seem palatable, then I will make those changes and then set it up soon thereafter. So hopefully by second or third week in December, you know, by the end of December, for sure. And then the hope is, let's say we send it to them January 1st, we would get that back mid-February, possibly end of February, into March, and then we would incorporate their comments, if there were any, and then that's the end of the updating process. Then they have a final review to make sure we put their comments in correctly, which is another 45 days, which hopefully will be faster. And then we take that out to the cities and the commission, Clark County Commission, to approve. And then there will be, along the way, work sessions with the councils and the commissioners to make sure they are well familiar with what's going to be coming to them.
So all in all, done June?
We're hoping April. End of April.
Optimistic.
I thought it was interesting that the article is right next to Jeannie Stewart's swearing-in picture.
Yes, so she...
Appropriate, huh?
Yeah.
No. She will get to vote on this, which would be exciting. Full circle.
I mean, she's been here and done a lot of it. So.
Yes, yes.
Well, she should be able to help the rest of the commission, or the commissioners, too.
And hopefully there's a shout-out to SWAC in that article, because SWAC are the ones who've done the blood, sweat, and toil.
It says here, the solid waste plan is a roadmap to managing the region's waste, said Don Benton, Environmental Service Director. Our Solid Waste Advisory Commission has spent many volunteer hours on this update. It represents an important part of what we do to protect our environment.
So, if you want some weekend reading and want to insert some last-minute comments.
When were those handed out? I don't
last meeting.
Yes. So we have one for you.
We do? Oh,
great.
Thanks. That's right. Perfect.
So,
I have a stack of must-read, and it's about this high, and I think it's yours. I think this is getting closer to
the top. Yeah, yeah. Can I borrow that? Because it does.
You can have them all when we're done.
This will just talk about some of the key changes here. We had a chapter that was, I can't remember what it was called. I think it was still called Sustainable Choices. Mm-hmm. And it was a little more broad, far-reaching in the previous plan. This one we really brought back to sustainable materials management, which is what we do. And that is looking at the life cycle and how much waste it takes to make a product. There's a new package coming out that Rich and I learned about called Flex Pack. I don't know if anyone's seen that on the grocery store aisles now. If you go and look at the baby food section in Whole Foods or New Seasons, possibly the other Fred Meyer's now, it's all coming in a squirt tube, and it's made of plastic. And what was it, Mike's Hard Cider? Mike's Hard Lemonade is now coming in a flex pack plastic container, and it will be definitely a big change on our waste stream. So the positive aspect of that is I think it took 10 truckloads of bottles to deliver what would need to be filled with Mike's Lemonade to go into to bring to market, and with this new packaging you only need one. So there, when you look at the full cost, environmental cost, the packaging actually is fairly revolutionary. And it's a woven plastic. Does it have some metal in there too?
It's almost like Capri Sun pouches, except some of them have different sort of screw top lids. Or.
So they will not be recyclable. But
well, that was my next question.
Yeah, they're not recyclable for many reasons.
Because you've got a multi-material product that you're not going to be able to separate.
Yes, and right now, if they were to get into our carts, which could be a problem, because they're flat, the first sort is all the flat paper goes one way, and then all the containers go the other way. So these are flat, would go right
over
the paper.
Yeah.
which is why you don't want to flatten your cans, because they end up in the paper bales.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at you know, being sure that we're following some of those. Chapter 5, the education and outreach chapter, was one we really worked on, and I think that was looking at making sure we follow a process when we roll out education programs, and that part of that process is we evaluate the results. And that's what we're doing with this Clean Cart campaign, where we'll actually find out what kind of contamination levels are in these bins beforehand, and then we'll do that same sort after. We talked about our master plan recommendation. This is Chapter 7 in the landfill disposal, master planning the Lechner landfill. Chapter 13, the organics. We're going to be studying the possibility of having a new organics facility in the county. Right now, our materials hauled all around to different, mostly to Oregon. And Waste Connections is pursuing information with Chulachi Prairie, the old Kravis site. I know there was some discussion last time. They are working up lease costs with that owner. So they have their pencil out and are looking at that as an opportunity. And then we have our new economic development chapter, which we've been talking about, which the paint certainly would fall under. So some pretty good improvements, and you know, certainly a lot more work to be done, but we don't have another 2 years to keep brushing up the chapters. At some point, we got to move forward.
And then your recommendations for the coordinated prevention grant.
Okay.
That up earlier.
Yes. I will pull up a quick document here. And folks see that?
Sure.
Not sure why it's not filling up the screen.
And F11.
F11?
Yeah, see what that does. That's not it. Oh, this is Excel.
Just hit undo.
If you scroll down to the bottom here, and you can see there, here is our number, $1.28 million. It's a 2-year grant. They have 6 categories that we can apply for: waste reduction and recycling, moderate risk waste, which is the hazardous waste, organics, green building planning, and solid waste enforcement, which is Melissa and doesn't apply to us. And we did a brainstorm exercise with our contractor, Waste Connections, and also the City of Vancouver and our county staff. And we prioritized in the categories, which are to the right, and that makes it even smaller, but MRW's moderate risk waste, or organics planning, solid waste enforcement, and then waste reduction and recycling are the categories. So we went down and put dollars in, and eventually we will roll this into a grant application by task. And this is how we are proposing the grant to be spent. But it's SWAC's role to recommend how we want to how we want to move forward in that. And again, we need to have this in sometime in March. So we have time to think about this.
you email us that list?
I can email you the list, and if it's not too, I can go through just some highlights of this and then email it.
Okay, then we could have some input for you for an agenda item at the February meeting.
Okay, and so just knowing it's a two-year grant, so this moderate risk waste collection event, that's picking up the hazardous waste at these 9 events we do, about $95,000 a year. And I'll just hit some of the big ones. The Master Composter Recycling Program, that's just a pass-through. We work with Columbia Springs, and that pays their full-time staff to run that program at about $90,000 a year with overhead. Can folks see that?
Yep.
We are looking at...
Pete.
Yes.
So just under, you've got a variety of items there, and a number of them have no cost associated with them. So how does that tie into a grant activity?
When we prioritize, some things fell off the list.
Okay, so those are... all right, so that's a reflection of a lower priority activity.
Someone had mentioned it during the brainstorm. If we could fund everything, and then we actually went and put the.
Then you started assigning dollars, and you ran out of dollars.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Now I understand.
Now there are some dollars that could be used from our solid waste fund to cover some other programs, but this is how we. These are grant eligible programs.
And you believe that the things on the left hand column are grant eligible programs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We started with that. We are looking at expanding our transfer station, the one on 503. And so we've got $100,000 there to begin that process.
Now that's the plant, not just that road, but we're talking about doing the access road is terrible.
We're not going to do the access road. Turn lane properly.
You're going to put more in there with the same road.
We're going to get people in and out more efficiently. The biggest issue is the line up backing up onto the highway.
What's 17?
Food waste reduction and prevention. This is one that you can see we don't have staff assigned to it, and it's discussion. Rich, can you help out a little on that one, too? Because I know you've been tracking that food waste prevention.
A little bit, yeah. So when you think about food waste, you think about the stuff you've got right now in your vegetable bin at home that may be sitting there, or things that maybe they're leftovers you've kept for a while that you're going to end up throwing out into the trash. So they found that a lot of the food waste... an alternative to try and let's do a special program to collect this food waste and take it and compost it and haul it hundreds of miles to do that. A good alternative, which saves a lot more energy up the system, a lot less water pollution, etc., is to maybe even get better food and use the food you get. And so it's practices on how you buy it, how you use it, how it's packaged, may preserve the life of the food longer. So. If we can cut down the amount of waste that people have from their food, whether it's a commercial, establishments, cafeterias and so forth, or if it's at the home, that provides a good savings, which may reduce a lot of that food waste that, creates issues in landfills and generates more methane. So US EPA has developed a program called, Food Too Good to Waste. I think it was after something in England they had some kind of approach, but some of the things that come up with that are if you buy a loaf of bread, maybe there's two in your household, you may not be able to go through a loaf of bread before it starts to mold. So I think in England they did it, and they kind of said, well, let's just make half a loaf of bread and we'll sell you that. So maybe that's in putting things in more packages that are kind of reduce the waste based on how it's packaged, or more packaging that keeps it fresher. These pouches that he mentioned will keep things fresh longer. So the idea is to encourage people to kind of look at their consumer habits, maybe stores or manufacturers to look at how they package materials so that people end up having less food waste to throw out.
But that's something you're going to get manufacturers making smaller loaves of bread, or?
I don't know that this would fund
because
that.
This doesn't make sense.
The way we talked about it was largely to do a promotion education approach to let people think about how.
So it would be like putting out a pamphlet or something.
Yeah.
Well, this is a marketing thing too. So marketing program.
Yeah, you know, like your pills, you know, are still good a year after the expiration date, but the people have to keep moving those pills so they can keep their production cycle working. But as far as using the pills, they're still good for another year or two afterwards, maybe not at 100% rate, but they're still there. And same with a lot of your food. You know, there's just two of us in our house, and we never throw a slice of bread away because the stuff with all the preservatives in it today just never seems to turn green anymore.
This would be hard on the organic food.
That's right.
Because,
yeah. Well, you know, I went up to the organic food place that took it, and they can take all we can give them. So there's not a, you know, I don't know about this Tlachi Prairie thing, but if Waste Connections is going to do it, they're the ones that are hauling it out to the Dalles now. So if they're going to fund the Tlachi Prairie thing, more power to them. And it's like you say, it's closer, easier to get to, as long as doesn't cost much more.
Expiration date, Google it. It's quite a read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a disagreement with my wife over it, and I won. 53 years, and I finally won an argument.
Yep.
I'm real proud of it.
That's good discussion, and definitely let's keep that dialogue going. What we will probably do at some point is get these into tasks, and then that's what we'll present to you next. But we'll certainly send you the spreadsheet if there's any quick feedback. Let me just go through very quickly, website maintenance. Again, that would be $50,000 a year. Everything is going online, and doing that is very important. So we maintain some pretty major websites. Our Green Neighbors Recycling Day events, this would be $50,000 a year to pay for the other items, not the hazardous waste, so the tires, the appliances, the yard debris.
Pete, back up there just a minute. You were talking about putting that on the website and stuff like that. How do you communicate with the people who don't have computers at home?
We still have the printed material, and we're still out at events, and try to reach folks.
Yes. You've got at least an annual piece that goes out to every
yes.
residential customer.
Part of our contracts with the hauling recycling contractor is to do an annual newsletter.
Yeah.
It's mailed out to all residents. Yes. I'm coming out of there. We spend $25,000 a year contracting with the Washington Green Schools to help certify Clark County Schools. And I know there was an article on that one, too. We are number one in the state for Washington certified schools, and that means we're better than King County and others.
It takes a team to be number one, says Pete.
Right. Big day of the reflector.
Yeah, you got more.
This Green Neighbors Clean Cart campaign on the single family and multifamily, this is a big ticket item. We will want to bring this to you probably in February. We'll grab a presentation on how this is all going to look and feel, but basically this is where we go out and do our major outreach into the community and touch 25,000 roll carts a year, and also the 30,000 multifamily. And again, that's one of our bread and butter programs, so we want to make sure folks are doing it right.
And in February, you'll describe to us what that program is.
Yes.
Picture for us.
Yes. So February is going to be a packed agenda item, I can already see. We'll have an update on the Leichner landfill. Mm-hmm. We'll have an update on the Clean Cart campaign, which is one of our major, probably the biggest campaign we've run since I've been here, which is coming up on 20 years. So it's a big, big all-hands on deck effort. And again, the money adds up pretty quickly. So I'll send out this spreadsheet. You guys can look at it. If you got more detailed questions, we'll get them. But eventually they'll be rolled up into a detailed task that we'll want your blessing before we send it to Ecology. And that'll be in March. So we'll probably do that at the March meeting. will be around that grant.
Okay.
So that gives you an idea of where we're heading, February and March.
Is there anything else that you have?
No. I will pass it off.
I've got another business down here, you know, my.
Me too.
My wife wonders why we have to do this over the dinner hour. Is there a reason meeting from 6 to 8?
The only reason I know of is because
we've always done it.
Always done it.
Yes.
Was it because people were working and couldn't get here until 6 o'clock? Or?
You folks don't even go home, do you? See, that's one reason, is that this one trip for them.
Yeah, they just get off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just walk across from them.
We're flexible.
Big building.
The timing works well for me, because I...
Six?
Yeah, I deliver mail for the post office on a part-time basis, and I'm usually done by 5.
Now, if we had dinner, would that help? Subway sandwiches? Because I'm working on that.
Okay.
Would you want to go earlier or later?
I said I would call. I would ask the question tonight and take home an answer.
Well, it really did the best answer, yeah. I think, for spouses, because we always have. And that's...
I'm going to invite you over for dinner, and you can try to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we're introducing the food stream.
There you go. All right.
The other thing that I had was more of the paper. You think I almost brought the whole paper. But I'd like to give, now that Scott isn't here tonight, I have all kinds of kudos for our main contractor, you know, Waste Connections. They've gave in the paper funding to the Battleground School District for their program, for their foundation program, which helps a lot of kids. And, of course, they host the Waste Connections Build a Bike program that's coming up. And so there's a lot of things going on with that, too. So
I think that's either tonight or was last night that they were doing the...
That's probably why Scott isn't here, because he wasn't here last year when, yeah, at the same time. So, you know, that's a big thing, and I think there's many kudos to our main contractor there for his community involvement.
He was in the Columbian yesterday, that program, and with Waste Connection.
There's a lot of things that Waste Connections does in this community that don't hit the newspapers, yes, but yes, they're very, very good citizens.
Scott was holding up the check that went to the Battleground School District. So, very pleased with that. Here's Don, here's my... You need to get a hold of me sometime. Okay.
Can I add just a piece on that one? We are having a gathering with Waste Connections, a holiday gathering. So as Don mentioned, a lot of times those relationships get things done. And I can send out that meeting announcement to this group. It's Thursday at 4 o'clock at the main events on Main Street here in Vancouver.
Which Thursday?
Thursday the 11th, so a week from today. From 4 to 6. And it would be the City of Vancouver Solid Waste staff, Clark County Solid Waste staff, the Waste Connections recycling educator staff, and then some of the other Waste Connections management folks. So it would be great to have SWAC there, and good opportunity to hobnob with the workers staff.
Anything else from the commission?
Yeah. Oh, I'm good.
You're good. Right. Nothing else. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.